The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. Welcome to Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll break down the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher.
Well, after a week off for the Labor Day holiday, it's great to be back with you as we talk Commodore athletics for the next hour. This is the Commodore Hour, and I am Joe Fisher. Great to be with you. We are on 94.9 tonight, our sister station, as 102.5 FM, our usual home for this, is carrying the Monday Night Football, this dual Monday Night Football set up for tonight with two games. So the Titans, obviously, in the second game coming up later on at Denver. Great to be with you. A great show, as always. We'll have Commodore football coach Derek Mason with us here in just a moment. He'll spend a couple of segments with us to catch us up as that season opener at Texas A&M ever closer, only now 12 days away. Then a little later in the show, a couple of coaches that have their sports beginning this weekend. Darren Ambrose, head coach of the Commodore women's soccer team, will join us for a segment. And then Stephen Keith, the head coach of Vanderbilt track and cross country, will join us. They open up with their Commodore Classic meet right here at Warner Park in Nashville. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get started with Coach Derek Mason in just a moment. This is the Commodore Hour. I'm Joe Fisher. Great to be with you as we will talk Commodore athletics for the next hour. We hope to be joined every week during the course of the season by Commodore head football coach Derek Mason, who joins us live now. And Derek, you know, I walked into the studio today and a little cooler out there. You might have to have sleeves for practice tomorrow morning.
I think you're right. You know, for us, it had been warm, the last, 10 days or so, before we, or as we took the field on Saturday, I had looked at the weather, man, and we had, really been in the midst of, fashionable weather, great football weather. But now, it's starting to cool down a little bit. So as we hit tomorrow, man, we got to be ready for a little cooler weather, but it may be a welcome change for our guys.
It's interesting because a while back, and they set the dates, and, the start date, September 26th, it felt like it would never get here. Well, now we're 12 days away, and it's going to get here, and it's creeping up pretty fast, isn't it?
It's sprinting. Right now, this thing is like a microwave. It's moving fast. We understand that we are 12 days away. Now it's about, putting these groups together, and seeing exactly how the chemistry develops over the next 12 days. And I'm actually excited to see what this group's going to do on the grass, but we've got a lot of competition in a lot of different positions, but this thing is now being whittled down, and now we're starting to move towards game preparation and game mode.
Yeah, we'll get to some of that because I know you got a lot of decisions to make. You've probably already made most of them, but there's still a few that I know that are left to be made. I was at the scrimmage on Saturday morning in the stadium. It was a controlled scrimmage. It was a situational scrimmage, and contact was restricted. You call it, thud a lot of times. You don't want guys in full contact, full tackle. Does it make it more difficult as a coach to evaluate your players when you're in a restricted contact mode like that?
What you're looking to do is sort of monitor the contact. I think out of a 80-play scrimmage, 75 or 80-play scrimmage, we counted up about 55% of those reps wind up being live. So we got a chance to get out there and hit, but you're just trying to limit some of the open contact because you're trying to keep guys up. Obviously, man, we're not that far away from game time, and you have to manage it. But by the same token, you still got to let them have contact. So I thought that was the right amount of contact for us. We came out of it, the way we wanted to come out, which is with a couple of bumps and bruises, but nothing that pushes an opportunity for a guy to be on the travel roster to get away from us. So I feel good about what we did on Saturday and what we were able to accomplish in that situational scrimmage.
I heard a number of the commentators over the weekend, not only in college games but in NFL games, talking about how they didn't expect the teams to be as crisp as usual because of a lack of contact opportunities. Now, for the NFL, they didn't have preseason games. College never does. But I thought of another factor as a coach. Do you have to take into consideration that you have to be prepared for the possibility, even though you're trying to make sure these things don't happen, of a COVID outbreak where you lose a player or two or three? And it, does it make you think about how much contact you put guys through simply because you can't afford injuries because of that?
I think when we look at the roster right now, I think it's you've been smart to look at how you practice, and we understand that contact is a huge element of what we do. But I think also, getting guys back, whether they were in quarantine or whether they were coming back off a small injury, you just got to be smart. So it does make you evaluate, how you go into these scrimmages, what are you looking to get done, but really how you practice. I mean, we've done a good job during the week of having, inside run be more of a live sort of period for us, so we can evaluate the interior offensive line and defensive line, the front seven on both sides of the ball, because we know this is a line of scrimmage league. And so we've tried to make sure, that we can create the contact points, in confined areas, and that's been good. Like for us, seeing that the roster has sort of started to come back into focus a little bit, but we had some guys who were missing for a short amount of time.
I wondered, and I thought about this earlier today, if maybe one advantage to all of this pandemic, if there is such a thing, for you as a coach, is that the practices, because of all the restrictions, are closed off to the media and closed off to the fans. You can practice in relative secrecy and not have to worry about anything.
That's been fantastic. I mean, we haven't. I mean, most of the time, you'd love for your fans to be able to, see where you're at. But like right now, it's really been about, just focusing on us and not having to focus on what's happening outside or are you worried about somebody seeing this or that. It's been really good just for us to say, okay, we need to focus and concentrate on this. So these have to be the emphasis points of practice. And in doing so, not really worried about, did you have media out there today with so-and-so in a certain jersey? How did so-and-so perform today? All those things, have really been good. I've tried to get our guys to continue to focus on, us, the fundamentals, being where your feet are and taking these days and making sure that we put, good work on top of good work, because that's how you got to stack bricks in order to make lay a foundation for a big building. And I think these guys have done a good job over the last 10 days as we've been able to get into more of a rhythm with these practices of being able to do just that. So it's been out of the public eye. It's allowed some of these competitions to sort of play themselves out. And what we've been able to do is be critical of the tape, but continue to coach and get guys better in this space.
We're visiting with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason here on the Commodore Hour. And I'm curious, we had the most football on this weekend we've had. Did you get a chance to watch any football? And I'm wondering if maybe you got your friend's game on tonight right now.
You know what? I turned on the TV to watch Duke Notre Dame. I caught a little bit of that game, and I caught some action of some other teams playing. I find myself watching football, through a different lens. Most of the time, I'm just looking to see, what does the pace of the game look like? What does the tackling look like? What does the contact at the line of scrimmage look like? Who's moving the line of scrimmage? I'm not looking at football as just a fan. I'm really being, calculated about, how I see it being played. And that's a gift and a curse. But right now, it looks different for everybody, We've seen teams like the Sun Belt was actually in their second week of football, and the Sun Belt did a pretty good job versus the Big 12 in terms of how they were able to compete. And I think having that first game and making a lot of improvement from the first game to the second game really showed up. So you really got to take the time that you have. Your guys really got to be on the screws in terms of how they're competing and how you're asking of them to execute, like right now, because more games, I've seen more games actually lost and won. You know, turnovers have been huge. Tackling has been, you know, like somewhat, you know, been poor at times. And I think the advantages have gone to the offense.
Well, when I mentioned your friend, for those who don't know, you and Steelers coach Mike Tomlin are pretty close. I just figured you might have an eye on his game tonight.
I'll be watching it. You know, as soon as I'm off of this call, I can't help but go ahead and watch the game. I was talking to an alumni group earlier, but I definitely got that game in my sight, man. I definitely want to see, you know, how the Steelers play, but also check out my good friend Carl Dunbar, who's the D-line coach there for Pittsburgh, who was at Alabama formerly. So, man, I got a lot on that game tonight. Nothing in terms of a true value, man, but just a lot of emotional investment, you know, for those two dudes.
No financial investment involved. That's good to
know.
None. One more question before we go to the break here. I was at the scrimmage watching things, and I wondered, with a new coordinator now and Ted Roof coming in, and you've been back and forth as being the coordinator, basically being very hands-on, then trying to be not so hands-on. Where are you now in terms of your work with the defense now with Ted in there?
You know what? He's fully in charge of this defense and, you know, how he sees it. And we have conversations about, you know, philosophies and he'll ask for, you know, like my thoughts on some things, but I tell you what, I'm truly impressed by, you know, his wealth of knowledge, just his ability to command and communicate, you know, exactly what he wants. And that's good for me. I mean, it helps me, you know, stay in my lane. Okay, because I'm trying to look at everything. I'm trying to evaluate offense, defense, special teams, and be helpful, like, in those spaces, okay? You know, like, what am I seeing? How can I help you? You know, what this is what I see. And I think it's been valuable, you know, to those guys as well. They know football, okay, man? And it's just a quick education in how we have to operate here at Vanderbilt in COVID. So I think all that, you know, like, it's been informative, it's been collaborative, but all the way around, I think they're making me better, man, because they're asking the right questions. But more than that, man, they're working to put our guys in the right spot.
Well, stay with us. We are visiting with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason on the Commodore Hour here on 94.9. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour here on 94.9 FM. We're usually going to be on 102.5 The Game, but we moved over from that station to our sister station here for this one particular night. Vanderbilt football will be brought to you in part this season by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Education Lottery, proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. Commodore head coach Derek Mason with us, and we'll be talking football with Derek hopefully for about a half hour during this show each week through the course of the season. And Derek, I guess I'll start, because you and I had quite a conversation after the scrimmage about a focal point for you, and that's the kicking game. And I watched you. You spent a lot of time during the scrimmage Saturday in special teams, and you spent some extra time after with those guys. How is that competition going?
The competition is good. I mean, for us right now, I feel strongly that there is a number one, and the competition between Pearson Cook and how this has transpired has been, you know, fantastic to watch these guys. As I look, you know, man, right now, I think both of these guys have strong legs. Pearson Cook sort of came out of this thing to me as being the guy, the front runner for this. I thought the week before, I mean, he kicked well. As we continue to go into the season, I continue to talk to both of these guys about it being a battle in terms of, you know, how it's going to play out. But I think, you know, man, Pearson has earned the right to be a kicker in 2020. And so that's where we're at. I feel really good about, you know, where he sits right now. And Javon Rice is going to stay ready. I mean, he may have kickoff duties, you know, in 2020, but right now, Pearson Cook is going to be our guy.
Well, I got what, 12, 13, 14 minutes into the interview without asking about quarterbacks. So I'll go ahead and do that now. I know you're not going to make the decision public, and obviously that's the case, but have you made a decision about the quarterback spot at this point, or is the depth chart still open?
You know what? We're getting closer. I think now, I mean, it's condensed. We understand, you know, and who's the top two. I mean, what two guys, you know, stand out for us. And I think it's even beyond that. I think we're closer to truly understanding who our guy is. What we're going to do this week is just continue to work and evaluate those guys. Reps will definitely shift in terms of, you know, what it looks like overall. But we're there. I mean, you're 12 days away. You understand exactly where you need to go now. And that guy's got to get more reps with the offensive line. That this group has a chance over these next, you know, 8 practices to get done what we need to get done. I mean, there's time, but by the same token, he needs whoever's under center, you know, as our starting quarterback, needs every opportunity, man, to feel what it's going to look like or to feel exactly what this thing is going to be for him as those guys around him get used to him and he gets used to that.
Are there two or three keys in your mind, Derek, to a quarterback earning that spot? I mean, is it decision making? Is it leadership? You know, is it, you know, not making a lot of mistakes? I mean, what are you looking for, or is that just an intangible and you know it when you see it?
I think it's a combination of both. I believe, you know, when you look at your quarterback, you want your quarterback to, you know, really reflect, you know, all the attributes being able to build your team around. You know, is he tough? Does he understand, you know, how to control the tempo and pace of what you're trying to do? You know, how does he lead? Can he maneuver within the offense? And I think that's where Coach Finch has done a really good job. Coach Finch has done a great job of looking at each one of these guys' strengths and tailoring it, you know, like to who these guys are, but like who's around them. And the game starts up front, but we know that it's got to be a quarterback-driven game. And we're going to make it turnkey for the quarterback. And I think with the quarterback having, you know, that it factor, believability factor, you know, can you lead? Will guys follow? You know, how do you compete? Those are the things that I think have really, you know, like shown through. You know, in small ways. I mean, we've had a short window to be able to evaluate it, but I think by the same token, it's become clearer and clearer every time we touch the grass, you know, where we sit right now. So those are the things that I've seen. I know Coach Finch and I, you know, have had several conversations, but it's been great to hear him talk about, you know, how he sees it playing out, and it's no different than what I've seen.
We're talking with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason as we are less than 2 weeks from the season opener in College Station against Texas A&M. You mentioned a moment ago, you referenced the offensive line and getting an evaluation of their work in these scrimmages and in practices. That's a position where you lost a couple of guys. I'm sure you thought you might be counting on veterans who opted out due to the COVID concerns, which is, you know, certainly understandable. Given that, is that your biggest area of concern personnel-wise, is the offensive line?
I think it always has to be. I think it always starts up front. But I feel really good about, you know, where we're at. I mean, when you talk about concerns, across the board, it's not about one group. I think this offense is sort of, you know, turnkey a little bit. We've had some guys, you know, in and out. Now that everybody's back, the thing that you really get a chance to do is let this group gel. Put it out there because, again, I don't think Coach Fitch is going to make it just about the offensive line. We think we can be physical up front, and that's what you got to be because you got to be able to have a semblance of a run game in this deal. But we also know that we've got enough guys on the perimeter to be able to, you know, take some pressure off and being able to have some different facets to this offense will allow, like, the offensive line play to really, you know, show up for us. It doesn't always have to be the most physical, okay, man? But we've got to be assignment-driven, effort-driven, being able to, you know, be relentless and being able to attack plays and being able to strain the finish. Those are the attributes, but I think the play calling will allow a lot of that to come alive. So I feel good about everybody being back together now over these next, you know, 12 days, you know, eight or nine practices to be able to do the things that we need to do, because we've had a lot of fundamental work, but now it's about, you know, like the idea of guys learning guys, you know, feeling comfortable with, you know, a guy next to him making line calls, you know, like where do we take the protection? What do we do like in the run game? You know, how the combos work and how guys can get to the next level. That's the focus and concentration over the next 12 days.
Got a couple of minutes left here, Coach. I want to ask you about one player that crossed my mind. I watched on Saturday, and I've watched him in practice before. It's Mitchell Pryor, who's a young man, kind of been a journeyman, hasn't seen the field a lot. But, boy, you watch him in a scrimmage, and he's not flashy. You know, he's not the fastest guy out of the backfield, but he just seems to know the game and plays hard all the time. Just talk about him for a second.
So Mitchell Pryor is a blue collar, you know, glue guy. He's one of those guys, you know, you can put him on special teams, and you know, man, he can play about, you know, 8 or 9 different positions on 4 different teams. I mean, and that's what I call a Swiss Army knife, or man, a glue guy. I mean, when it comes to, you know, playing the game, but he got in games a year ago, you know, touched the football, ran well, scored. The game was never too big for him. Again, it's not flashy, okay, man, but it's effective. And, like, for us, okay, we need to be effective. Okay, man, if you give me you give me the choice between being flashy or being effective, I'll take effective every day. So, you know, Mitchell Pryor is that guy who you can count on, and he's going to be counted on special teams. He's going to be vital in that rotation of backs, because there's some things he can do out of the backfield. He's got really good hands. He's good in pass pro. He's got good vision and runs with great balance. So, you know, he's a key component in that 5-horse race at the running back position.
Final question. We could talk. As you know me, I could talk to you for hours about all this, and I appreciate your time as always. Tomorrow, as I understand it, looking at the schedule, tomorrow's a pretty major practice. I think it's the longest practice of the week. It's full pads. Is this, in some ways, a final chance for a player to impress you and maybe make a move up the depth chart in a position?
Good question. Every practice is an opportunity. Like I told these guys, you know, what I'm looking for are good players. Okay, I'm not looking for the most talented players. I'm looking for good players. I'm talking about guys who can take the instruction, okay, their skill set, okay, and turn that thing in the effort, okay, that leads us to execution. And if we can do that, that they're going to find a way to make an impact on this roster. You know, in 2020, it's not about, you know, just a couple of guys. Everybody's got to be called on at some point in time. So I continue to tell guys every day, okay, man, you got to stay ready. Okay, man, if I catch you getting ready, it's probably a problem. Stay ready, because you never know when you're going to be called. So when you're called, perform, and let your performance be your resume.
Well, we always try to stay ready here too, Coach. We do the best we can. So I appreciate your time as always. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow on the practice field.
Hey, Joe, you're the best. We're going to get at it early.
I'll be there, Coach. Thanks. I appreciate it very much. Coach Derek Mason with us, talking Commodore football. We'll have him with us every Monday night, hopefully for the first half hour of the Commodore Hour, to keep us updated on Commodore football. That's starting season opener 12 days away in College Station, Texas, on Saturday night, the 26th, against Texas A&M. When we come back, a visit with Commodore women's soccer coach Darren Ambrose. I had a chance to chat with him earlier today. I think you're really going to enjoy. He's a great guy. In fact, he and Coach Mason are good friends and have spent a lot of time together. And Coach Ambrose, I think you're really going to enjoy his perspective on what they've been dealing with as women's soccer gets ready to start its season this weekend as well. Stay with us. This is the Commodore Hour.
Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on the Game Nashville app.
Well, the Commodore Hour continues. There's been so much talk about fall sports getting started, most of that focusing on college football, but at least in the Southeastern Conference, that means several fall sports getting started, and among those,
women's soccer. And Commodore head coach Darren Ambrose joins us as coach of the reigning SEC Eastern Division champions. And, Coach, welcome. This is year six for you, isn't it?
Man, time flies, huh? Thanks for reminding me. Yes.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And I have to – let's start with this. How concerned were you during this whole time that you were even going to have a year number six this year?
Yeah, I think I go back to March, and I was pretty laid back and think, you know, way, we'll be fine. And then it got to June, and I wasn't so sure. and then we got to July, and I think we're trying, and still not sure. And yet here we are. And you know, credit to an awful lot of people that are, you know, around the country and the SEC, and in particularly at Vanderbilt, that do so much and have done so much and are doing so much as we speak to make sure that, you know, our kids are playing and in the best possible environment. It's not easy, but there's a lot has gone into it. And, you know, as we were just talking about it, it's kind of cool to be on a field and playing at the moment.
You know, no one's been through anything like this. None of us have. But from your standpoint, that time when they were all sent home, you know, and that's a time when you're usually, you got people in camps, or you got them playing, you know, an international, whatever, all kinds of things. And all that was shut down.
Yeah.
How difficult was it to keep your players in the training mode you wanted them to be in to get ready for the season?
Well, I'll be honest with you, the first part of it wasn't as a coach, it was, I think, more as a human being. And just the first part of it was, hey, we're going to give you a couple of things. We don't know how long this is going to go. Here's just keep yourselves kind of busy. And then it was, how much can we really expect in May, not knowing what's coming? So we really backed off. And then we got to our typical start time in July for summer stuff, or June, sorry, and we sent them out of program. But in the back of my mind, the reality was in my head is how do we really expect our kids to keep this up? And in different parts of the country, they had a hard time accessing facilities anyway. Mm-hmm. So we tried, and we did a lot of, like most people, I think, we were on Zoom with them and trying to, you know, keep things light in other things we did. And we did a couple of cooking classes on Zoom together, and, you know, just trying to keep perspective, and even now keeping perspective, you know. So we sent out stuff in June, July, to the kids' credit. I mean, they did a great job. And, you know, when they came back in the summer, it showed. We got here end of July, and when we started doing some conditioning, I would say the level was what I would have expected under normal circumstances. They did a really good job. The few kids that had issues over summer were a little behind, but because we had the extra time, it allowed us to prepare adequately anyway. So, but full credit to them. I mean, they did a good job.
Now, did you conduct the cooking classes, or did you just spit them up?
I did. I conducted them. I had a couple of recipes that I'm comfortable making. So,
like what?
So we did both pasta, fairly straightforward, Joe, nothing complex. We're not reinventing the wheel here, but it wasn't just some pasta with meat and vegetables in it and something different just to try and, you know, I asked them to cook dinner for their family. You know, if you're home and your family, just do something for your parents, and, you know, and it was kind of cool. It was fun. There were some good moments in there, and I think the kids enjoyed it. They asked to do another one, so we did a second one. And overall, just a nice way to engage and make the best of what was a tough, you know, a tough time. We did a quiz night. We did some other things with them too over summer, just to engage. I think we all wanted connection. I think we all wanted to see each other and wanted to be in touch, and that was one way to do it.
You've got some youth on this team. You've got a number of freshmen, but you've got quite a few veterans on this team as well. Did that help you during this time?
I think so. I think there's a comfort level that I have and a level of trust that, you know, you get kids that have been in the program for quite some time and they know what's expected. They've been at the heart and soul of what we've been doing. So I think coming in and the communication piece and coming back, you kind of knew and expected them, the driven kids, the competitive kids, and, you know, they set the bar pretty high for themselves. So I kind of was hopeful. And you always, again, you don't know that, but you were hopeful knowing how they're wired and what they've given so far and what their goals are, that they would be as prepared as they could be. And again, as I said, they kind of, you know, showed up in a really good spot.
In the grand scheme of things, and all these sports are having to deal with this COVID, all the precautions and all. Soccer does not have a tremendous amount of ancillary equipment other than a ball and the nets and your, Is that a plus for you that you don't have to deal with a lot of that?
I think about football and dealing with all that stuff, and I think it is. But even so, just so people know, I mean, when we first started, you know, even now the soccer balls are disinfected after every practice. Before, when we first came back, we couldn't actually do heading because we didn't want kids heading a ball and having such close contact to the face with other people having headed a ball. I mean, it was so controlled, and you know, one kid could head this ball, and that's the only ball they could head for a little while. So it really was over a certain period of time, we became more comfortable with processes that we got to train and do the things we normally do. But it certainly wasn't a case of us coming back and just starting out as we normally do. We worked into that piece. But yeah, for sure, it certainly helps not, you know, disinfect a few soccer balls every day. And it's a lot easier than what some folks are going through, I can imagine.
Well, the conference came up with an 8-game conference-only schedule. You begin this coming weekend at home. Unfortunately, fans can't be there, but at home with Kentucky. What are your thoughts of coming up with that schedule? And then, I guess, as I understand it, everybody goes to the SEC tournament this year.
Yeah, I think I was involved, as we all were, but on multiple committees this summer and talking about what do we want the experience to look like. And I think, you know, if there's a conference in the country where, you know, they talk about it means more, and we wanted to have meaningful competition if we could, not at the expense of anyone's obviously health or the safety of anybody, but if we were going to play, could we do it in a meaningful way? And in fact, could we play for a divisional championship? Could we play for some pared down, scaled back title of some kind? In other words, our kids were fit and ready to go. And, you know, the idea of those 8 games is we play divisional games. We've got and then a couple of crossovers, but we have one game a week, which helps, obviously, from a rest perspective, but also just from contact perspective, from testing. You know, we kind of thought it through. It gives time to make up games. You know, when we're assuming, we're not naive, that there's going to be games and that are canceled or have to be made up. And so I think there's a lot of thought went into what we're doing, a lot of thought. And it wasn't a question of let's just do as much as we can. It was how do we measure this where we can manage our kids, manage the environment, do it in a safe way, still provide a meaningful season in context of the year, and what can we do? And I think on paper at the moment, as we get into it, it's as good as it could have been. And patience was a part of that. We didn't rush to put out a schedule in July and early August, right, when some others had, and we just sat on it. And I think what we've got is exactly that. It's meaningful and enough games to give our kids a season.
Finally, and quickly, what are your expectations for this season coming up, or is it impossible to really have expectations with all the unknowns going on?
I think that's a fantastic question, and we kind of have to redefine what success is. And I try and keep, you know, perspective and context to that question. Is that, you know, at the end of the day, if no matter what's going to happen to this team or any other team in the SEC at the end of the year, you know, I really don't want to have any more kids in quarantine. I don't want anyone to suffer with the health. I want it to be a fun experience. I do want to compete. Our kids want to compete. They're wired that way. They don't know how to not be that way. But I also think it's important for us to define what success really is. And if that means getting through because we have inconsistent training or we're canceling games and there's no flow and rhythm, which is in athletics is crucial in preparation, then it's, hey, are we getting better at something? Are we competing? And in the context of what's going on across the country and in the world, we're going to get to play a few games and be around each other. And we can do it in a manner where no one is in danger. And you know, we all love each other at the end of the season. Then that's really what it is. And managing the stress that's going with, you know, everything, the processes, the online classes that kids are in, and dealing with all this other stuff and isolation. And we can still do this and still, again, appreciate it and keep it in perspective. That's success. But make no mistake, we've had this conversation. If we're here, we're here. And while we're permitted and we are able, you know, we've built up a program that has expectations of competing somewhere in that mix at the end of the year. And this year's no different going into it, but also with that caveat that, hey, let's roll with the punches. Let's take it one day at a time and do what we can in that moment. And that's really the humility that goes with this year is, right, you just got to give up something. You just got to let go. We're all control freaks. We all want to control everything. And what we've learned is you just can't. And at the end of the day, if I can take a step back myself and say, hey, look, it's okay. Let's go play. Let's do what we can. Let's have some fun, but let's compete. But if that was as good as we could do that day, given some other things, then, hey, that's what it is this year. And I think that's true for across the country for a lot of us.
Well, best of luck, Darren, starting this weekend against Kentucky. And we'll do this again sometime during the course of the season, okay?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thanks for checking in.
Darren, appreciate it very much. Darren Ambrose, head coach of the Commodore women's soccer team, with us as the Commodore Hour continues after this. This is the Commodore Hour. I'm Joe Fisher. Great to be with you on this Monday night. And we have visited with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason, whose season starts in 12 days. Had a visit with women's soccer coach Darren Ambrose, whose season starts this weekend. And another sport whose season starts this coming weekend is men's cross country. It'll start right here in Nashville with the Commodore Classic that'll take place Saturday morning over at Warner Park. And Steve Keith joins us. He's been coaching his alma mater since 2006. And Steve, I've asked a lot of the coaches, so I guess I'll ask you, how concerned were you that this season wasn't going to happen?
Well, thanks for having me on. It's, to be honest with you, we didn't get approval for our cross country meet until very recently. We were going to go rogue. We were going to have it anyway. So the kids just won a race. So it's been a big challenge. I think more administratively and logistically, but it's not dampened the kids' enthusiasm or interest in the least, especially all through the summer.
You know, and this may be a naive approach to it, but it seems to me that in the grand scheme of things, this might be one of the easier sports to be able to deal with all the restrictions COVID pandemic has brought. I mean, it's pretty easy, relatively, other than the big crowd at the starting line, to social distance, isn't it?
We can manage the starting line. I'm getting ready to send out meet information, and last year I was looking, I sent it out to 20 different schools. We had 20 teams and over 200 runners, and Saturday we're going to have six SEC schools, 42 runners in one race, and about 30 in the second race, and we'll do that for each gender, for the men and for the women. So, and they'll be spread out, so by the time they get all together, 400, 600 meters into it, they'll be running together, but only for a few minutes, I guess. It could get a little stretched out, but that's the way of the world right now for track and for cross country. It's going to be smaller competitions, but these are going to be real high quality, so it's actually even more exciting.
As I mentioned, Steve took over 2006. He also is a Vanderbilt graduate and ran here at Vanderbilt. Does that mean anything? Obviously, it means something special to you to be coaching your alma mater.
Oh yeah, it's been fantastic. And then all the guys I ran with in college are all still really, really supportive. When I'm out at the Vaughn's Gap course out at Percy Warner on Highway 100 near Old Hickory. And anybody who's interested in coming out, unfortunately, no spectators.
Right.
So I want to make sure we get that out there. Yep. But my sophomore year, we hosted SEC for the first time out there in 1978. So been some history out at Percy Warner.
Well, you mentioned history, and you lead me into something else I was going to get to in just a couple of minutes, but you were a big part of bringing the 2017 SEC Indoor Track and Field Championships to Vanderbilt. I can't imagine that a number of years ago that could have even been a vision, for you, given facilities and all. I mean, what was it like for you to stand there in 2017 and be a part of that?
It was special, but I'll tell you, it was a long time in planning. And in fact, I was fortunate enough to be part of designing the facility, and came up with some different ideas, different plans, and I, all along, I had in mind the fact that we need to make it capable to host an SEC championship, to put it on ESPN, and to give these world-class athletes a chance to really show their talent. And I think we were able to do that across all those counties.
I've got to ask, this comes to my mind, and for those who don't know what you've been through some of your tenure here, being diagnosed with leukemia, the battle that you had, it almost took your life. Bone marrow transplants, all the things you went through. amazing to see you go through that. Two questions regarding that. One, does it make you appreciate things like even having an opportunity to be here and have a season even more? And two, have you had to be extremely cautious in terms of your own health and being around your players or your runners? And has that been any kind of challenge for you?
The appreciation side is, I'm just most appreciative of the Vanderbilt Medical Center and all the great things they do there. And it's always been my philosophy. I joke with the kids, my philosophy is like my blood type, which is now B positive. So that's the way I'll deal with that first part. Second part, my sister, who's 5 years older than me, had the unfortunate position of being my caregiver for both my transplants. And a day doesn't go by that I don't get a text from her about being careful and your job is one. Job one is not to catch the virus. And so I joke about it, but we also have a really good sports med group that puts together a good plan, both for our competition, for our practices, and I'm being smart about it. I'm fortunate now where I don't have to drive the van with the kids, and we spread out the seats in that. And it's just all these little things that you don't think about that are now can become pretty big things that we're taking care of. So. I feel like we've got it under control, but definitely don't want to take anything for granted. So you'll always see me with my mask on, and it does not bring back any PTSD for the last 7 years or so. And I have to mention, Joe, that September 19th. Is our home meet on Saturday, and then that's the 7-year anniversary of my first stem cell transplant. So that,
wow.
They call that day zero. So that's my second birthday.
Yeah, you have three birthdays, don't you?
I have three birthdays. Yeah, and those who know me know that I'd like to celebrate all of those. So I do. So I let everyone know.
Well, before I let you go, I want you to talk briefly about one of your men's cross country runners. You've got some not only talented people in all of your programs, but some people that are really special in a lot of ways. Caleb Van Geffen is a senior, and he's a leader. He's the head of the student athlete advisory committee. Just kind of talk about him and his role for your team.
Well, the upperclassmen on the men's team have been fantastic. And last year, I thought they had the best year that a men's team had had. They'd beaten four SEC schools at the NCAA regionals. And Caleb Back is a senior captain, and president of SAC. Really, every year you can see these kids get their focus fine tuned a little bit more and a little bit more. And he really wanted to go out on his senior year, with a bang with his teammates and most of those guys are engineers and they're as competitive in the classroom as they are out on the course. But Caleb's been a great leader so far. And we even talked today in a one-on-one meeting that This season of eligibility actually will not be exhausted because there's no NCAA championship. So he's looking at possibly even doing a grad school year before he goes off professional engineer employment. So, you know, we might have him back, but right now he's just done a great job of keeping everybody, you know, focused, and they're super excited about what's coming up this weekend, as are the women's team as well.
Well, Steve, best of luck to this season. I appreciate you taking a few minutes, and hopefully it's another successful season for the Commodores. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Steve Keith, head coach of the Commodore men's and women's cross country and women's track teams, joining us here. Their season gets started on Saturday. We'll come back with some final notes right after this.
Nashville's exclusive home of ESPN Radio. We are ESPN 94.9.
A reminder, during this football season, Gupton Jeep will bring you the keys to the game. Gupton Jeep, your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram headquarters, been serving Middle Tennessee for over 59 years. A couple of big hires today in the Vanderbilt Athletic Department, former athletic directors and distinguished college administrators Tommy McClelland and Dr. Christine Kelly have joined Vanderbilt Athletics. McClelland comes after serving as the athletics director at Louisiana Tech. He will serve as deputy athletic director for external affairs and revenue generation. Dr. Kelly comes after a long stint at Dartmouth, serving as senior associate athletic director and varsity sports and senior women's administrator. Two great hires for the department. Congratulations to former Vandy boy Kyle Wright. Got his first ever victory with the Atlanta Braves last night over the Washington Nationals. Gave up three earned runs in six innings and beating Max Scherzer and Washington. And the U.S. Open Golf Tournament begins this week at Winged Foot. A couple of Commodores in it, Brant Snedeker and John Augenstein, who was the former SEC Player of the Year, both involved. My thanks to Alex Birch, his work on the board at our World Broadcast headquarters in Winston-Salem. Max Herz on the board right here locally at 94.9. We'll be back next week, back on 102.5 The Game for our usual Commodore Hour. I'm Joe Fisher. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Monday. Anchor Day.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Tonight's show was brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. The preceding was a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.